Welcome to Anchored and Aligned, a podcast for sensitive souls who want real self-care, emotional clarity, and a life that actually feels like theirs. I'm Blaze, a life coach, here to help you set boundaries that stick, stop people-pleasing, and build routines that feel supportive instead of overwhelming. If you've ever felt burnt out, overwhelmed, or like you've lost your spark, you're in the right place. Let's anchor in and come along. This episode touches on personal grief, including the loss of my brother to suicide. While the focus is on remembering his life and what he taught me, I want you to know that if you're tender today, you can take this one slow or return to it when you're ready. Hello, this is Blaze. Welcome to the very first episode of Anchored and Alive. I'm excited to be able to connect with you and to return to something that's brought me so much meaning over the years, which is to feel like I'm able to communicate with the world through a podcast and be able to share stories that have been important to me and to my life and that I hope resonate with you, and to share coping methods and insights and ways to help life feel better and be more manageable when it gets ridiculous and crazy. This podcast has been born out of a really, honestly, the worst time of my life, which was the death of my brother last year by suicide. And I've not talked about it very much in public anyway, but I've talked about it with all of my friends and family. And I've talked with my brother in my own way in these late nights where I wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning, and I feel like I'm having this conversation with him in my heart and in my head, talking about what's important and where we feel we most belong in the world. And I feel like I belong when I'm sharing with others and when I feel like I'm part of a community. And I've really clung to that this last year and worked to build and rebuild connections with everyone that I care about. And it's so important. And I don't know what I'd do without all of you. But because my brother was so important to me, I feel like I want to share him with the world in my own way, because he makes up a significant portion of who I am. I think when you lose someone that's close in your family, no matter how you lose them or why, it just rocks your whole entire existence. Hearing about his death was the worst moment of my life. It was just like nothing made sense anymore. I couldn't really even process it. I remember just wailing and crying on the ground and having one part of my brain wondering how it was possible to cry so hard but not produce any tears. And I don't think I had any tears actually fall for like 2 days, even though I kept crying and gasping and literally being on my knees or feeling like I was going to puke. I remember being there for my family and my friends coming in to help me take care of my daughter and check in on my other brother and my dad, and I and my husband went down to where my brother Matt lived to go through his things and sort all of his affairs and figure it out. That trip was the worst and the best. It was awful. It was awful. I remember sitting out on my front lawn, just trying to figure out how we were going to put this together and figure things out. And I said, you know, I don't really want to go down there. I don't know that I want to see what I'm going to see. I don't know that I want to know it, but I do. And my friend, in all of her wisdom, said, well, don't worry. It might not be as bad as you think. And she paused for a moment and then said, it might be worse. And we just laughed and laughed because it's so true. I was so grateful that she didn't try to fix it or make it better than it was, because you can't make that better than what it was. You can't travel to just uncover the secrets of your dead brother's life and think that there's anything pleasant or good that's going to come from that. But I went, and it was something I had to do and something I'm really grateful that I did. In the months following his death, I just unraveled in a way. I very consciously let so much go because I realized I wasn't capable of offering the best of myself. As a life coach, I help people. I help them figure out what to do when life gets hard and how to deal with really big feelings and what are some practical ways that we can support that. And I somehow realized, like, I need to live that myself. And I can't offer that if I'm not clear in a way or in a place where offering that help feels authentic and good. And because I was so low, I reduced my entire client load down drastically. Very, very few people. And I'm glad that I did. And for those of you listening that were with me through that time, I want to thank you so much. Like, you guys are amazing. My clients are incredible. I'm so grateful I was still able to support you and be there for you in the way that I could through that year and beyond. And you've helped me grow immensely as a person, not just as a coach. And I'm grateful. And I'm so proud of you too, because you guys have been incredible this last year. And I want to share in all honesty that in that first 6 months, 9 months, almost 10, I didn't really want to engage in anything. So the honest truth was, I spent so much time peeling myself up off the floor after just laying there for hours or crying and realizing it was time to pick my daughter up from school and get my shit together. And I would. And I would, you know, do my bare minimum. So it was me just tackling the things that still needed to happen in life, because life keeps going. Like, there's still bills and there's still activities and after school stuff and just so many things that still need to happen. And I would make myself lists of just what are these major events or things that I have to show up for. And if it wasn't really important, then it just didn't get done. And I didn't demand it of myself. And I let myself cry so much and talk to everybody so much about being sad and about death and about suicide and my guilt and pain and sadness and worry and wanting to make sure that I never lose anyone like that ever again and realizing that I don't have that control. I was so angry and hurt, and just missing my brother, and wanting him back, and knowing that I couldn't have him back. And I got to know his friends a little bit, and hear their stories of him too, and their similar grief and anger, and pain and confusion, and wishing we could get him back. I realized that sometimes when people die like that, we want to come up with a simple narrative for ourselves about who that person was and the truth of their lives and what might have been happening and how we somehow could have prevented everything or fixed it or whatever. And life is so much more complicated than that, and it feels like such a disservice to the person who died as well as to everyone around them to pretend that we had more control or that we could somehow change what happened there. I mean, that's not to say that I don't think that intervention is a thing. Of course it is. But the questions of survivors of suicide, right? All of us. Were there signs? Did you know what was going on? And it feeling every time like this accusation of, if you saw something, if you knew he was in distress, why didn't you fix it all or stop it or do something? and me realizing I did so much. I did so much. And so did everybody. And he never said he was suicidal. He didn't talk about suicide. He talked about anxiety. And then I was like, oh, are we supposed to extrapolate that every person who has anxiety or has some stress or, you know, is lonely sometimes, that they're going to kill themselves? And I don't think that's true. But I had all of these questions, and it was really, really hard. And it still is. I'm going to ask these questions till the day I die. And I come back to the meaning of my life and the people that are important in my life and thinking back about Matt and saying, well, do I have regrets about how I treated him or what I offered him or how we hung out the last time he visited, which was only a few weeks before he died? And I don't. We had a great time. I've treated him well. I rack my brain for anything I could have done or said that, you know, could have sent him over the edge, right? Like these kinds of thoughts. And I found that's not terribly helpful, but of course we think that. We're always going to think that. But ultimately, I need to let him have the agency over his life that he had and over his death too, which sucks. And really, I just want to love him for everything that he was, because, you know, I could reduce him down to just someone who was depressed and had anxiety and ended up taking his own life. And that's true, it happened. But he was also this amazing person. And he was full of joy and silliness and willingness to go on adventures and play. And that's so much of who he is to me and who he'll continue to be to me. Growing up, he was just so fun. He was my best friend and my worst enemy, you know, like siblings are. And we played so many games and made up stories. We were always storytelling and playing outside and climbing trees and getting hurt. And I remember him as just this tough and yet sensitive kid. Like, he would get hurt and just take it with a shrug. He had like a piece of wood that got stuck in his knee once, and I don't know how, but I remember that he had like soaked his knee in the bathtub and like it popped out, and it was this like centimeter long round thing. Like, I can't believe that it was in underneath the scab, and I'm thinking, what did you like jump on a tree and snap off a branch in your knee? Like, no wonder it was hurting. But he just like, oh wow, isn't this cool, and just showed us this gross piece of wood and went on with his life. Later on, when he was doing karate, he got his black belt and had just gacked up feet from breaking his feet all the time with kicks and breaking boards and whatever else he was doing. I remember that he was taking kayaks out into whitewater and learning how to roll them. I talked about it with my dad, and my dad was like, oh my gosh, he's amazing, because I'll try to go out with a paddle to roll a boat, but Matt can do it even just with his hands and flip himself over in white water. And it was incredible. And he loved teaching people and taking them out to have adventures with him. When I really got to talk to his friends where he lived for the first time, down in Virginia at his memorial, they told me, you know, my brother was always taking all of them out on adventures, gathering everybody together to go out on the water, to get on a paddleboard, borrow a wetsuit, get in a kayak, throwing extra kayaks up on top of his car. And he had like three or four kayaks. It was crazy. And his motto was, there's always room for one more. The more, the merrier. And they'd all go. I heard stories of him gathering everybody together during COVID to have back patio cookouts and just sit with beer and talk, with everything spaced 6 feet apart. And we would just chuckle because he was such a rule follower, but also hated them and was so stifled by the rules. He was such a smart person and curious and reading books. I loved sharing ideas with him and talking with him. We talked every week. And even though he lived like 12 hours away from me, He came up at least 3 or 4 times a year, often more than that. And I would drop everything to go hang out with him because he was just fun and awesome, and I missed him so much. And we both have this incredible love of food, to love going out to eat and trying new foods. And he could eat ridiculous amounts of food, probably because he was like climbing mountains every weekend and, you know, swimming in cold water and just being so physically active. But we'd go out and eat sushi, and, you know, I'd get like a roll and he would get an entire freaking sushi boat and eat the whole damn thing. It was incredible. And after he died, my daughter heard about the story of my brother eating the sushi boat as his order back when our favorite restaurant had first opened. And everybody's saying, oh, you're a legend. I can't believe you could do it, because he just ate the whole thing, like in the hour that we were there. And she said, you know, you need to get a sushi boat and honor him. And I tried. I've tried twice now, and I can't eat that much sushi even with 2 or 3 people. So it speaks to his incredible capacity for consuming delicious food. I miss my brother a lot. And I've thought a lot about who I am and who he was and what he appreciated. And I know that he appreciated what I do and what I offer to the world, and I want to be able to offer that again. It took me 9 months after him dying to feel like I wanted to engage in my own life again. And I'm sharing that because I don't think that I'm the only person who's been so just devastated by loss. I think we all experience this. And it's normal to not feel capable and to not feel like you're ready to do anything. And I want to share that taking the time that I needed to do as little as possible and to just cry and be sad and think and cry some more and write letters to him and just process what life is without this person in it for me. Like just locating, who am I and where am I anymore? Like when am I going to find him again? And realizing that I don't get to, he's not here. But knowing that he is here because he's part of me and all of my memories. And I feel like his soul and his spirit is with me. I share it so that you know that you can eventually emerge and feel like something is ready to grow at the end of all of that. Because in the experience of it, I wasn't even sure if it was possible that things could get better. I thought maybe, you know, my life was just going to be sad, full stop, forever now. And it's still sad. But it's also really good. It's also really good. I appreciate my life. Like, he's put such contrast for me between what was and what is, and to appreciate that the time we have living here is brief, and I care so much about my family, and I care about the world, and I want to make it a better place than I left it. I think my brother worried that his life didn't have that impact, but it really, really did. I want to give a shout out to any of his friends who are listening, because you all were so special. Having you there for that memorial that we put together was so special to me. I remember walking into that room and feeling like I might just run out and cry, like I couldn't breathe. I couldn't believe he was really gone. Remembering it still feels like that. It was so fresh. It was only like that same week that we had the memorial, and when we decided to throw it, we only had like 48 hours notice to tell people, hey, we're going to do this before we drive back up to where we live in Connecticut. And people flew out from California, and people drove up through Hurricane Helene in North Carolina. Like, it was still flooding actively and awful and dangerous, and people came. And you guys told me Matt was worth it. And I know he was. And we laughed. And you shared stories about him and things that I just, obviously, I'm not going to be able to experience because I'm a sister. And I didn't live next door. And, you know, I shared a different time of his life intensely earlier on. And then in a different way as adults. But you guys were his best friends and his family down there. And to hear how much you cared about him and how much he took care of all of you and cared about you. I loved hearing about how ridiculous he was and how into his experiments and just intense with that stuff at work. That he worked so much, which I knew. He talked about that all the time, that that was his thing, was working really hard. And seeing his joy in these photographs that were shared of him holding baby goats at his best friend's farm and him with his arms around everybody, knee deep in water in front of a waterfall. And I'm sure there was kayaking involved or mountain hiking, but just his contentment there and his belonging. And again, you all sharing how he was just so generous and kind and always willing to share his knowledge and make everybody feel accepted and loved and heard. And he never talked down to anyone. And that, you know, he was brilliant. He was so good at math and chemistry and what he did. And he could do these experiments in his head and describe it to people. But his ability to teach that and share it and help other people succeed and his desire to do so. And it made me just happy. And I feel like he has a home in all of your hearts too. I'm really grateful for that. I hope through sharing these memories of him that he gets to live on in other people's hearts too, like people that he never really even met. But he was a really good person. And I know he wanted all of us to be happy and to enjoy our lives and feel good. I'm sad that he didn't in those moments anyway. I don't think he always felt bad. I think he just did then. Maybe he didn't even, who knows? That's the craziness of all this, right? Is that we never get to know. But this recording really has been just a thank you letter to Matt and to say I love you and I miss you. And I was really proud of you and I still am. You made a good life for yourself. And I'm glad that you had it, even though to me it felt too short. And I'm never going to forget you. So, to anyone still listening to this ridiculously intense introductory podcast, I want to offer my hand to you and say, I hope that you never feel like you're walking alone. You're not. Even if you feel like no one else in the world is there, my hand is there. And we all make a difference bigger than we know in the lives around us, in the world around us. I've thought so much about the impact that we have that we're unaware of. And I think back of like, gosh, every like little stray cat or whatever that I've helped out. And I think for my brother, like every rattlesnake that he trapped in his apartment and let go rather than killing. And the mice that he wouldn't trap and he just got like Tupperwares to keep them out of his food. Like those kindnesses, they ripple out not only to humanity, but to other creatures too. If you've ever watered a plant or just, you know, appreciated a flower, like I think that influence is felt and is important in the world. And I want to say it out loud. I want you to hear it, that your life is important and the things that you find meaningful are important. And even though I haven't really talked about it so much in this particular recording, we're going to talk about these things in future podcasts. My hope for this is that I'm able to share actual, real, tangible things that we can do to make us feel better and feel safe and feel belonging in our lives. The world is really complicated and difficult, and it's easy to feel alone. And we're so connected. We just are. And when we're able to take care of ourselves and take care of what we feel matters, it ripples out and we're taking care of other people. And that's what I really want to do, is help take care of my little portion of the world in the best way I know how. And having this podcast is one of those ways. And it's interesting too that as I was conceiving the idea to get back into podcasting and be able to share these stories and talk to people like this, I also thought, man, like, I've learned a lot about what it takes to anchor yourself and return to feeling alive, to feel like you belong in your life and that you're important and that you have agency and that the things that you do are being effective and that they matter. And it was like being inspired by my brother and having him, you know, kind of standing beside me as I started to put together this course. It's also called Anchored and Alive. And it's to help teach how to do that in an order that makes sense so that you're not trying to just leap to the end. And I think, you know, when we're sad or we want to get better at something, we just want to leap to the part where we're automatically better and it's fixed and it's done. But what I've learned is that everything takes its pacing and it takes its time and that there's seasons for everything. And it's okay and it's necessary to let those seasons flow. I have been in a season of profound grief for quite some time. And it's interesting because I feel like that season is opening up and it's becoming something else. And it's blooming into this. And I have energy again, and I have desire again, and I want to engage, and I'm enjoying building all of these things. And gosh, I've enjoyed building the course, and it has so much good stuff in it. I'm really proud of how it's layered up and come together, and I think it'll be hugely helpful to a lot of people. And I'm wanting to make it as accessible as possible so that as many people as need it can have it and can learn and grow together and find some peace in their own rhythm and learn how to anchor their own wants and needs and learn how to communicate it well and be able to ask for help. And all of those things are a part of the course. But that's not even the entirety of what I wanted to talk about. Really, it's just about saying thank you to all of you for helping me feel like I have something to offer that could matter, something that I could share that might help. And I hope that if my sharing this story of what went into this particular iteration of my life and this chapter of it has helped you in some way, that you might share it with someone else who might benefit or want to hear from someone living a really gritty, gross, disgusting, sad, agonizing, and also joyful and amazing and funny and awesome life. I think we're all of those things, and I know I am. And when we make space for all of it and we get used to sharing that and talking about it, it makes us feel less alone. And it certainly has made me feel less alone. So this was a lot. Thank you if you made it through this entire story of mine. And I appreciate you so much. I would offer to you to take a moment, maybe take a deep breath and close your eyes if you can, and it's safe to do so, and you're not driving. And just feel into your body and recognize that you're here and you're alive. And there's things that are amazing about you. Things that are important to you that make you you and not anybody else. And that adds so much beauty to the world. And that you're seen and you're loved and appreciated. And that sometimes we find that hard to feel. It doesn't mean that it's not there. I'd ask you to feel into your body and feel into your heart. and remind yourself of something that made you smile or of something that just made you feel like someone else resonated with what you're experiencing in your thoughts and feelings. And to appreciate that and send out some love and appreciation. So I feel like that kind of thing amplifies and ripples and goes out in waves. It's the quiet kind of thing that we can do when we feel and we know in our hearts to be true. And it isn't loud and it doesn't get celebrated all the time. But it is an anchor. And it connects us all to each other. Thanks for joining me for this episode. And next week, we'll get back into the real stuff. I say back into as though we've had more than one episode. So funny. But we will. We'll have a lot. The next one, I think I'm going to talk about Thanksgiving and the holidays. And I know that we're only a few weeks out from it. And we all have thoughts and feelings about this and stress in our lives. And I want to connect with you and help regulate all that and give you guys some good ideas and ways to plan ahead to make the whole thing less stressful and more fun. It was wonderful recording this, and hard, but mostly wonderful. I'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to Anchored and Alive. If today's episode helped you reconnect to something true, I'd love to support you even more. Visit anchoredandalive.com to explore my course and coaching support and find the next step that fits you best. Until next time, take what you need, leave the rest, and we'll meet again next week.